I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Mavi was just telling me that I have a foul mouth and that he thinks that I should be in trouble more often because he thinks that he also called me the devil. And this was all in just the last 2 minutes. Like, everything was fine. He said, just your mouth, you're the devil, and you're going to cost us everything. That's what he said to me. And I was like,
That's how you started the show. I'm going to say, Scott, watch your mouth. You say horrible things. You're going to cost us our job. Please be careful.
Yeah. Anyway, did you see all the, not to butter my own baguette. Do you know what a baguette is, Mafia?
Yes, it's a long French type of bread. How many times I go to Montreal, you think I don't know what a baguette is?
I don't know. Like, I was thinking about the Caribbean. I wasn't thinking about Parlez-vous Francais, Montreal. I know you go up there a million times. So, yeah, I apologize. You're right. You should know what a baguette is because you go to France all the time. I forgot. But I was thinking about, like, you know, the Caribbean. Every morning I would go get a baguette, right? So I don't want to butter my own baguette. But today was, like, a good day, I think, for the, you know, show and for Sports Grid, right? Was it not? Was it not a good day? Like with the whole Mightier 1090 story that came out, because I think
it was a big day.
You know what I mean? It was good for, it's good for, I think, the network. It's good for Sports Grid Radio Overnights. I think it's good for everybody. I think everybody's doing a great job. Marinci's a badass. Wetzel, all of them kicking ass, taking names. We're all doing well. Great things are happening. We're on now starting August 3rd in San Diego and LA. That's going to be cool. And we got a lot of press today because of it. And it's all happening, man. And all I have to say is, let's go.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams. And I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we were just talking about Tiger Woods on my break or whatever. I'll talk about him in a second. But the last thing I want to say about the other thing is that San Diego, I said this on the show last night, late night on Pharrell and a Bench, because I had gone on Scott Kaplan's show in San Diego yesterday. Right. Was that right, Mavi? Isn't that when I went on with him? I think it was. It was like, I think I did it.
Yeah, you went on his podcast yesterday, last night.
All right. So I went on his show and I, you know, we obviously talked about me going on 1090 in San Diego starting August 3rd. And then, so the cat was out of the bag. It wasn't a big secret or anything. I wasn't holding back information from the audience ever. No one ever told me, don't say anything because we're just not going to have it. I didn't have any of that going on. I'm not really one to listen too well to people ordering me around, but I'm cool. Like, I don't freak out about things, really, about stuff like that. So I just knew that they had me do this show, so I did it. And once we were talking about it, why wouldn't I just go on the air with it? I mean, I'm like, I'm not waiting till the press conference in the morning or press release, whatever the hell you call it. So it all happened. And then I mentioned last night I was going to be going on in Southern California and all the rest. And now I am. And I think it's really cool because Coast to Coast will be on at 1 to 3 West Coast time, same time, 4 to 6 East. And then I'll be on normal doing this show at night, and it'll be on at 7 to 9 in San Diego and LA. So you got to understand, I was on the air there for a long time. I lived there for a long time. I did my shows there for a long time. The best years, frankly, of my, I guess, the epitome of my, story and legend of the show is all started in Los Angeles, right? It really got huge for me in Los Angeles. I got made in San Francisco and brought to LA to go gargantuan in New York and all over in 250 markets around the country. I was the first sports show ever syndicated. And the bottom line is that it just has a special place in my life and heart to the point where, just so you know, like, get used to it. I go there a lot, right? I hate going all the way out there. I'm not a fan of that 6-hour trip, whatever it is, and then getting there and getting a rental car and, dealing with all that. It's a pain in the ass. But I'm not a really good traveler. Like, Mafia knows I'm not a fan of traveling. I don't like flying. I don't like airports. I don't like people. I don't like crowds. I'm not like the COVID thing is sending me over the edge because I'm not a fan of going in big crowded places to begin with, unless it's a sporting event. Like, I like going to fights and I don't mind going to concerts, but I'm not a fan of going to airports and standing in line and, the going through the security and then going through the gate and getting on the plane and waiting for everybody to sit down. And then when the plane lands, trying to get off. And then I'm always going first class, whatever, because I can't even take it. So I have to just relieve my anxiety and prepare myself. If I'm up in the front of the plane, I get off the plane first. I get on it first, I get off first. That's why I do it. I don't do it because I'm a D. I do it because I can't stand the whole process. Mafia will back me up on that. He knows I Jones. I freak out. I have anxiety. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
You're a little twitchy the more you got to be around people.
I just don't like it. Like when people sneeze on me in an airplane, I'm just like, I don't even know them. Like, so this chick, you know the story, the chick was in first class. I'm sitting right next to her and this chick starts sneezing. And I mean, this chick literally sneezed 10,000 times in 5 hours. I mean, 10,000 times to the point where I literally got inside my shirt. I totally went inside my shirt like this. I was in a hoodie and I got all the way in my shirt. I was in there all the way. If you're watching me right now, I sat like this for 5 hours. And then every time she sneezed and coughed, what did I do, Mavi? I was like, every time she did, it didn't matter. It was early in the morning too. It was like it was a red eye or something, or it was a 6 a.m. flight. I think it was a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah, it was an early morning flight after a fight.
Early morning after flight. And I'm sitting there, every time she did, and this powerful woman from In Demand and Pay-Per-View was sitting right behind me, my good friend, Dale Hopkins, and she was sitting right behind me, and she'll document this. Every time this chick sneezed or coughed, I was like, oh, no, 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 oh, God, Jesus, look at, I was like, what, oh, God, I was like, get a doctor. And I thought I was going to die.
And the thing with that, Scott, is, you know, now 2020 vision. I mean, that was middle of February when you're coming back from that big fight out in Vegas. You know, you just think, oh, this chick's just sick, whatever. Now looking back, you realize that, you know, she could have had COVID-19. Like that was right before we actually like admitted that this thing is out there. And, you know, it was like a month before we admitted it was a big thing, but it was there and we just weren't acknowledging at that point.
The Hanta. So here's the deal. Do you remember, like, how many times have you heard me say, like, I used to go to Hawaii a lot, and I practically lived there. And then I've never been able to get 34C to go to Hawaii. I'm like, let's go to Hawaii. What's up? Let's go. She's like, no, it's too far. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, it's like a 12-hour flight. I said, we'll fly to L.A. We'll stay overnight, like, in the Intercontinental, somewhere badass. And then we'll go right back to the airport the next day and we'll finish the 4-hour flight and we'll be done. Whatever, 10, 12 hours, whatever it is. I've done them all. I've flown to Bora Bora. I've flown to Eastern Europe. I basically flew to Russia. So all I know is you just got to man up and get some good drugs. And all I know is I don't like going to LA, right? Like the flight out there sucks, like 6 hours, and I got to deal with kids and rental car, people, airplanes, all of it sucks. But I go out there every year, right, to San Diego. Pretty much every year of my life, I go home. And I consider Southern California home to me. You know, most people that know me, Mavi will tell you, I wear flip-flops in the middle of winter. I wear shorts year-round in snowstorms. I'm not a fan of the weather here, the New York. There's nothing I like about it at all. I like, San Diego and Los Angeles and Huntington Beach. And if you don't like it, then screw you. I mean, honestly, like, I don't care what you think. That's what I like. And I like surfing. I like bikinis. I like skateboarding. And I like smoking fatties on the beach and laying on the beach and getting tan. And I love watching chicks play volleyball. So if that makes me a creep, then have at it. And all I know is I got people giving me the finger. People, you know, just absolute chaos, congestion. You know, idiots everywhere, violence, crime, you name it. They have all that and everywhere. I won't deny that. But to me, like, if I'm going to live somewhere and be happy, it's like on the beach, right? So I always go home surfing in California. I love going to Southern California. And the fact that I'm on the air there just gives me just absolute chub. Can you say that on the radio? It's like cauliflower, son. I'm over here like, I'm all kinds of stoked that I get to be on there because I love it there. And I even told these people, you better be ready to send me out there because I'm going. I'm going to go out there. I'll do shows from out there. Can't just like go on in San Diego and then not let me go there. It's not happening. I even told them that. I was like, I'm going at least 5 or 6 times. So get ready. It's happening. So I hope they're listening right now. I know they are. I know you're listening. I know you listen to every word I say. Notice, I'm going to go to San Diego. You're lucky I don't move there. Don't even try to tell me what to do. I'm crazy. I'll steal a surfboard and sail away to Key Largo. Sail away to Key Largo. I know that's nowhere near LA. But Mavi said just now in my ear, sail away to Catalina. Do, 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 where Robert Woods killed that chick, allegedly.
The Catalina wine mixer.
Right. I'm just glad I'm on in San Diego, and I look forward to the whole deal with 1090. It's cool. Scott Kaplan's a badass. We had a lot of fun the last couple of days doing shows. I look forward to going on there in August 3rd. And it's simple. Two shows a day. You get the Coast to Coast, which is a kind of sports topical show that's badass, and then you get this show, which is totally loose. Get in the church, fools. Chat room's open. We call it the Church of Pharrell. Dig it. That's what's up. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Get in on it, son.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for on a bench. So Mafia, I don't. So I know that I bother you driving and such, because I'm crazy. But I'm. I really don't drive crazy. I think I drive cool. But I think that I have a mouth on me, and I have a mean streak, and I have the ability to blame everyone else for everything. When I'm driving, it's never my fault. So I'm always mad at everyone. So I know that, but I know that it must not be fun. I've asked you this before, because I've traveled with you 5 million times on airplanes to fights and all over the world. But you, do you hate flying with me too? Just like driving, the whole airport experience with me is toxic for you too? I mean, because I know you're a femme and everything.
No, none of it. I don't hate any of it. Like, especially with the driving, it's not that you're not a bad driver. You don't do crazy things. Like, you don't even really, you know, text or drive or things like that other people might do that put people in danger. The only time you're out of control is when someone does something stupid to you. You then feel the need to show them the stupid thing that they did, which is, you know, just as crazy and wild and out of control. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're gonna crash us or get us pulled over. But that's the only time.
Shut up! I don't care. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut your face.
I mean, the flying, I don't have a problem with flying, because, you know, we'll hang out at the airport or whatever. We'll get breakfast. We'll, you know, we're going through security and stuff. But especially on the way, the way there and the way home, usually we're half dead because we don't sleep beforehand. We'll stay up all night for the 6 o'clock flights, get out, you know, right away. So there's not much talking or anything going on. We're just chilling and just trying to stay awake as much as we can. Then once we get on the plane, you know, we don't sit together. You sit up with the elites and I sit up with the riffraff. So, you know, we don't see each other for 6 hours. So it's not like it's a big deal either way.
Listen, if I could get you in first class, I would. There's not a company in the world that's going to do it, right? Like, in this day and age, like, that is, you know, we're covering a sporting event for them. Like, most of them, just pure and simple, they fly everyone coach, right? Everyone, like 99% of the people coach. It's just simple. They know that I'm crazy, and they know that I just won't go. I just won't do it. I won't do the event. I'm not coming. You know, and listen, I got a big mouth. I can sell anything. In fact, I think I'm one of the great marketers, and frankly, pay-per-view salesman of all time, right? When it comes to boxing and MMA and UFC, I worked for Dana. I worked for Don King. I worked for De La Hoya. I worked for Mayweather. I worked for Al Heyman. I've worked for all of them, right? And I think they hire me for a reason, right? So they all know what I do, and they all know what I bring to the table. And I've only ever asked for one thing. I've never asked for a penny. I've never asked. I just, all I've ever asked is, put me in business class. I cannot fly and coach. And they're like, why not? I said, because I will kill someone. They will take me off in handcuffs. I will slam someone in the face with a tray.
Right. I mean, we just discussed how crazy you can get in first class. Imagine what it would be like in coach, crammed in like a sardine, squished between two big people in the middle seat with no armrest or anything. You go nuts.
I'm nice to everyone. I'm like very polite when I get on the plane and when I sit down in first class, whatever. I'm always nice to people. I'm like, how are you? I hope you're doing well. And then I just mind my own business and sleep. I don't bother anybody. I'm cool. If you mess with me, I am not the person to mess with. I will not have any problem eradicating you verbally, just eviscerating people. I just don't lose arguments. Everyone thinks they can argue better than me. Everyone thinks that they are some debater, talk show host, or whatever it is. I'm not. This has nothing to do with radio and television. This is, I am a copperhead snake, and I do not lose. I'm not losing an argument with anyone. I will get the final dagger in every time, and it is, I mean, when I do you, it is just over. I mean, just boom, right through the heart. Done. You know, I just pull it out slow. Anyway, I just wanted to know if the reason I wanted to know if you, not because I go to California a lot, is that I got a rumor, Mafia, that I don't know when, but it's coming. There's a trip coming. I got a message about some things.
Oh,
about
really?
I think we got something going. I don't know when, but I'm telling you, I don't think it's long. I don't think it's far from now. I don't think it's, I think, based on the COVID, I think there's some issues that have to be worked out, right? But there are, let's just say a lot of fights happening. You've seen them, right? There's UFC, there's boxing every day, right? Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's some people that believe that there's going to be some fights that are going to happen that they're going to, I think, allow a select number of people to be there for. Attend, mm-hmm. In other words. And I think that obviously we're in that group.
Right, because they've been saving all the big ones. They're putting all these cards, you get the top rank cards, things like that. But they're not putting on the big boxing fights because those are the ones they want to pack people in and make some money off of. Right. So they got to come soon. They got to start making that bank.
Well, I know that they've reached out to me in the last few days and asked me how I feel about things. And I said, I'll do whatever, man. Let's go. I'll go. I'm not afraid to. I don't want to go to the airport right now to do some trip or some vacation or anything like that. I'm not interested with this COVID. It's crazy. But I want to get back to our normal life and go to fights. You know what I mean? I want to go to big fights and do the show in Vegas and LA, wherever. I mean, Dallas, wherever they have them. They have them all over the place now, right? We're all over the place. So we've done a million trips, and I want to do it again, and hopefully sooner than later. And I did get a message about it, so that's pretty cool, right? So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know when, but it sounds like we'll be going to one and hitting the aeropuerto soon. I don't know about soon, but one of these days, which wouldn't be that bad. Don't you feel trapped for 5 months?
Yes, absolutely. It's bad enough, for us who are used to going 4 or 5 times a year to somewhere, whether it be California, Vegas, like you said, Dallas, the trips that we've gone for fights or other sporting events, to now not only be home and not be going on these trips for the last 5 months, but to be home every day in the house, not leaving to even go to the studio. It's a big adjustment. I could definitely use getting out a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Anyway, a lot going on today. The NFL, NFLPA, J.J. Watt lists out what the players know and don't know with the rookie scheduled to report here in a day or two, I think, to camp. The rookies have to show up and do their thing, right? So, I don't know. I had this list. I can't find it. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't know. Have you seen the lists, Mafia, of all the things that they want? Like, you know, we talked about it on Coast to Coast where they have the NFLPA has these demands and that they want some things cleared up before training camp. And they have all these issues of things that they want. And we talked about it on the show today. And then J.J. Watt did this list. And, you know, I guess if I look long enough, I'll be able to find it. Maybe Mafia can find it. I don't even know how quick he is. I had it.
Yeah,
I
sent right it here.
Oh, what is it then?
We don't know. He says, we want to play. We want to be as safe as possible. We have not received a single valid IDER plan, which is infectious disease emergency response, from any team or the league. We don't know if there are any preseason games or not. We don't know if there will be daily testing, semi-daily testing, etc. We don't know how a potential positive COVID test would affect contracts, roster spots, etc. Nothing has been agreed upon on what training camp will look like. Basically, he's saying, like, they don't know anything. Like, we want to play, but they haven't told us a damn thing about how it's happening.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound really solid, does it? It does not sound solid and, frankly, well thought out yet. I know the NFL announced 72 players were diagnosed with the COVID as of, I think, 5 or 6 days ago. That was on the 10th. And they got all these questions about it. There's a lot of players. We've been playing sound on Coast to Coast of a lot of players saying, you know, Melvin Gordon, I don't think there's going to be a season. Two guys flat out coming on the show and saying they have massive concerns and they're worried about it and they don't feel good about it and their families don't feel good about it. And are we allowed to opt out? Do we still get our benefits? All these things that they want and they're worried about, man, it just starts adding up. And there's, I have already walked the NCAA football season on the plank. They are on the plank and they've only got a few steps before they go into the agua. And then the NFL keeps acting like they got everything figured out because they're a, you know, multi-billion dollar company and they got a bunch of players making now hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, you got one guy that's going to make close to $500 million, if not $1 billion, $500 million. You got guys making $125 million. You got guys making $85 million. You got guys making $40 million, guys making $31 million, guys making 20, 15, 10, 5, 2 million. Everybody's making millions of dollars. And then they still complain all day about their contracts. They hold out. They want traded. They bitch, they moan, they never stop with the money, 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 money. I get all of that, but that's the deal. I think that the reason why they're handling the COVID differently is because there's so much money on the table. Now, I understand NCAA football has tons of money on the table and these schools make tons of money and the NCAA makes tons of money. I get all that. But these are student athletes who are not getting paid. Now, you got the likeness thing going. Great. This is talking about getting a paycheck to play football. That's not the case. And if other students aren't on campus, why are they there? It comes down to safety, lawsuits, things of this nature. The pros, they make their own decisions. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Mafia, you don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is that, you know, I get it. The pros are going to camp. The pros, you know, are having the rookies go and then the veterans go. Like, it's different. You know, it just is. It seems different to me because I never remembered it that way. Like, I remember pitchers and catchers go and then everybody else goes. But in football, I just remember everybody goes. And when you're a rookie, I used to go to the Steelers training camp up in Latrobe. And it just, you know, they were treated poorly But they were still, you know, had contracts and were making money. But they learned the hard way that they're not a veteran when you're playing in the NFL payday and you're a rookie and you go to your first training camp. I mean, most of them are scared to death. I know they act cool and act like they got it all together, but they really are like cabling in their trousers. And all I know is I've been to a bunch of them, so I'm not tripping. Do you think that it's just purely the money that they're trying anything and everything to make that pro football season work? But at the same time, they're not recognizing the fact that, frankly, they shouldn't even probably even do the season. Like both of these, like I think college and pro football have to recognize, like every day now, college conferences are canceling and they're doing conference only or canceling. I'm telling you, it's conference only until they cancel. They're just trying to take right. one step down the flight from every bad decision has to go down a short steps, right? And they're going step down all the way to the bottom, which is end the season. And I think everyone's worried about it. And I think these pro football people and reporters are afraid to go there because they know how much money is on the line. And they know all these guys make tons of money and the league makes tons of money. And nobody wants to lose that money. That's the only reason they haven't had the onions to just say it already, that they know that this thing could get canceled in 5 seconds.
Yeah, it absolutely could. You know, they're just trying to play the waiting game right now and thinking, okay, well, we have time. We can wait and see how these things work with these other leagues and try to make our own plans off of there. But here's the thing, Scotty, if they're showing up to camp, why don't they have a plan in place? You know, you saw all these other leagues before they agreed to play the season, to resume the season, or even, you know, MLB to even think about starting the season. They had to have this plan. And, you know, some of the players were complaining about how big the plan was. Well, from the looks of it, the NFL has zero plans. You could have it 84 pages for MLB or whatever it was. You know, the NFL has zero pages, it looks like. So it's one thing if you're looking at it and saying, well, we don't have to worry about it just yet because we're not playing for a couple months. Okay, that's one thing. But if you're having them show up to camp in 2 days and be there for a month together, and you don't have any plan on how to keep them safe, how to keep, you know, things sterile, how to, you know, isolate somebody if they test positive, how, you know, how often you're testing them, like how are you showing up to camp and putting all these guys together in this situation? Yeah, that you're not going to send them off to, you know, like you said, Latrobe, you know, you're not going off to these campuses where, you know, college campuses or these other areas where they used to have them. Everyone's staying home. You're just doing it at your facilities, but you're still having these guys in the same locker room, on the same field, making tackles, sweating on each other in the same facilities. Like, where is the plan? I'm surprised these guys are even thinking about showing up without something laid out for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think everybody's just fooling themselves. Now, A-Rod is switching to baseball. He's been clamoring to buy the Mets, obviously. And now he did a conference call today talking about he wants a salary cap for baseball. And of course, the union has never wanted to even like discuss that topic. And he said, quote, "The only way it's going to happen is if they get to the table and say the number one goal, let's get from 10 to 15 billion and then we'll split the economics evenly. But that's the type of conversation instead of fighting and fighting against each other because there's too much competition out there right now." I don't even know. None of that made any sense to me whatsoever. I have no idea what he just said, but none of it made sense. I'm sorry. Of course, to him, that's so funny coming from him, isn't it? Not because he's trying to buy the Mets with J-Lo and a bunch of rich friends and athletes and entertainers and team owners willing now craft to develop property around, you know, Flushing and around the stadium, wherever the hell it is, Citi Field, you know, turn it into a hot spot and hotels, restaurants, bars, all the rest, theaters, like everyone's doing like SoFi and Vegas, right? Everybody's trying to turn it into Disney World, basically, you know, a place where everyone wants to be and everybody wants to go and get their rocks off. But it's funny coming from him talking about a salary cap. Can you imagine these guys like A-Rod with the contracts that he signed, $252 million with the Rangers, $275 million with the Yankees. Can you imagine that guy trying to clamor for a salary cap after he got those deals? And then think about it. Machado, Harper, all these guys that have these giant contracts, the pitchers that have these giant contracts, even Garrett Cole now has a giant contract, right? Scherzer, all these guys, Strasburg, giant contract, all these guys, giant contracts. That's all there is to it. And baseball, like this guy saying, well, first of all, they've never even talked about it. They've never even brought it up or discussed it, a salary cap. Coming from him, it's so funny. I got to tell you, like, I think if you want problems, if you want real problems, do a deal. I don't even think the Wilpons are that stupid because I don't like them at all. Personally, I know them and I'm not a fan of their work. And I know they don't like me. That's fine because I was on their television network, SNY, for a number of years. And frankly, I did very well there. I did a show that got big ratings and they still fired me because I made fun of the Mets. And I think I made fun of the Jets too. They didn't like that either, but they sure hired me, didn't they? It's so funny. They knew exactly what they were getting, but they couldn't handle it. And so I've always, seriously, I just tell it like it is. Like they knew exactly what they were getting. How do you hire a guy that works for Howard Stern and does the dirtiest sports show on the face of the earth in me, right? On the filthiest show ever, bar none. Everyone acts like they're some kind of a badass with their, you know, pansy ass podcast and their dirty mouths, potty mouths, right? Like Mafia, you know, as well as I do, I broke the egg there. I set the standard. I mean, I did the mold. I mean, when they poured the gold, it was of my face because I did the dirtiest show ever. And you know, I do the dirtiest show ever. I work for Howard Stern. You even came to my studio and listened to me do a dirty show and you were offended 3 minutes after you got there. Did that not happen? Did it not happen, Mafia?
It did happen. They saw your deplorableness in its human form.
Okay, but they still hired me. So who is the sucker? I mean, honestly. So here's the deal. I don't even think they're that stupid. I really don't. I'm suddenly giving them credit for something. I've always felt they were kind of stupid because, like, who hires me and then expects me to be Jesus? I mean, it's so funny. And then I would always say that, like, you guys are so unbelievable. You hired me. You knew exactly what you were getting. And then now all of a sudden you want me to find God or something. It's so funny. But here's the deal. I don't think they're stupid enough to sell to a group of 20 or 30 people in his consortium. You know what I mean? Like, am I wrong that they have this giant group of people? Mafia, there must be 15 actors, rappers, movie stars, musicians, dancers, strippers, baseball players, Spanish rock stars. Am I not, like, I'm not even imagining things. They've literally, who isn't on their team? You know, they got like every person in the world wants a piece of the J-Lo A-Rod, you know, buy from the Mets, right? It's like they have this giant group. And in my opinion, that's just problems waiting to happen. Mafia, that's just how in God's name can you get, you know, 20 owners together in a room and decide on if they're going to have omelets or scrambled eggs?
Right. I mean, you're going to do a situation like you have down in Miami with, you know, Jeter, where you just put someone in charge, like you all agree. But like you said, it's hard to get that many people to agree. And when you have that many people involved, maybe you can get more people to raise up the value a little bit. But, you know, if a couple of them just don't come through with that money, all of a sudden it's a lot different situation. But I agree with you. This is so laughable from him. And it's not even laughable, you know, because of just the fact that there'll never be one. But because, like you said, like this guy was breaking the bank when he was a player. This guy was setting records. The $250 million he got from Texas when he went and signed there for a decade, the deals he was getting from the Yankees. Like, this guy was out of control with his salary every year. But now, all of a sudden, when he's looking to become an owner, and he's seeing, you know, that he might have to pay Alonso if the guy puts a couple of years together like he had last year, or he might have to pay DeGrom or some of these other guys, saying, well, wait a second, now the money's coming out of my pockets instead of going into my pockets if I get this ownership stake, maybe we should limit this a little bit. Like, he wasn't saying this the last 2 years of him being a baseball analyst, and I know things are different because of COVID with the economics and everything, but still, he wasn't saying this before. Now all of a sudden he's talking about being an owner. Now we should, you know, limit what guys are making.
Don't you think the simple deal is for Cohen to get the team for $4 billion, $2 billion for the team and $2 billion for the TV network? A $4 billion offer from one rich guy is certainly more palatable than dealing with A-Rod and his group of celebrities.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, he's buying both things from them. You know, the Wilpons are doing this because they want money. That's why the thing fell apart with Cohen in the beginning, because he was offering them money. Now they said, well, we want more money. So how about you just let us make money off the team for the next 5 years while you pay all the bills? And that wasn't happening. So this way they get the extra money without having to give up, you know, control. Like, they'll have the control and all that, but they'll get twice what they were going to get before.
So I don't, I still don't, I'll believe that when I see it, that he gets that team. I still think they're going to give it to Cohen. What about your boy Usman calling out GSP? He's got to be kidding, right? Like, are they really going to bring that guy back from the dead? Like, at what point does a guy walk away and is gone long enough that you just know he's done? Like, do you really think that guy's coming back to keep fighting? Is he really coming out of retirement for the 15th time to fight?
I don't, because if you hear the comments he's made over the last couple of years since he retired again this time, he has kind of come out and said like he doesn't like fighting. Like, he was good at it, he did it, but like, you know, he's a martial artist, he respects the art and everything like that, and he's not really into the violence of it. It was just that's what made him money, so he just kept doing it. But the guy has enough money that he doesn't need to come back for a fight against Usman. You know, it's just another situation, these guys just calling out someone that's going to bring in the big bucks on the fight. That's why he called out Masvidal. That's why he's called out Connor. There's not a lot of guys in that division he has left to fight. So he's just looking for, you know, big money elsewhere. And for him, that's bringing in a legend.
Did you see B-Hop said that he thinks Anthony Joshua will knock out Tyson Fury? I don't believe that for 1 minute.
Off of what? Off of the way he got himself knocked out by the chubby, Ruiz, like the guy that he took the guy lightly and got his head taken off. So we're going to not trust him against a guy who just beat the most fierce guy in division. Come on, B-Hop.
Mark Emmer said today, sadly, the data point in the wrong direction. If there's to be college sports in the fall, we need to get a much better handle on the pandemic. In Portuguese, that means they're not going to play college football.
That means we don't know what the hell's going to happen.
It looks like Real Madrid are champs again in the La Liga. They finally won it, right? There you go. It took 3 years or something like that since they won their last one. So they're tough. They're still in the Champions League. I like watching that Champions League. I think it's awesome. How about a heavy presence on the Church of Pharrell tonight with all the MLS fans going crazy? And it's unbelievable. Like, so tomorrow night when I'm doing the show, there's another game, Real Salt Lake's playing somebody tomorrow night. All I know is I was stunned tonight when I was looking in the Church of Pharrell on the YouTube live chat of the show, Pharrell on a Bench, that tons of fans on there talking MLS is back soccer tournament. Just crazy. I see Messi with a free kick, bend it like Beckham winner today. Messi still getting involved. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. My boy Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. Catch him. He's a badass. Everybody already knows that. We love having Morenci on the bench. Hey, Morenci, what happened in Edmonton with these floods that ruined that Rogers Center? What the hell's going on there? You know more than me.
I think God is speaking. That's what's happening. God has sent a message that he does not want sports being played in 2020. I don't know. I guess there's a flood and like the lobby, the ceiling collapsed. And, there's like, hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage. You know, don't worry, though. The ice wasn't affected. And listen, they're not even there yet right now. But you got to love the bubbles. And I got to tell you, Scotty, too, check out on Twitter. There's a couple of Twitter accounts out there, like NBA Bubble, Life in the NBA Bubble. And I don't know if it's the NBA Bubble or the MTV Real Life, man. These guys are like shotgunning Coronas all day.
Right.
And they're sitting around in kids' pools. Like, it looks like it's a big-ass party in the bubble right now.
Right, and your boy Myers Leonard, he's going to be an alcoholic by the time it's done, because he's like the king of the guzzling, and at some point it's going to catch up to him. Have you been betting on all the MLS? I'm watching this game right now. Is every game like on FS1 late night? How does it work?
No, it's a mixture, actually. I'm glad you brought it up, because FS1 adds crowd noise, and it's just ridiculous, man. like over the top crowd noise, Scotty. Like, you think there's 350,000 people at this game, and like the Brazilian championship is on the line. Like the other day, it's so Bush League. Someone was hurt the other day, and they have the crowd like cheering, like the game's going on.
Morenzi, have a good show. I love you. I heard what you were saying until the very end there. I lost you. Have a killer show. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. East. Great job, Mafia. Good night, everybody. Peace.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.